I guess now is I'm going to preach on Colossians 3, if you'll turn there, Colossians 3. So when Pastor gets to that, so I'm going to know then when he preaches that how was I supposed to preach this. So singing all those songs and then getting up here trying to preach, that's a bad. Yes, it does. All right, Colossians 3. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then ye shall appear with him in glory. Let's pray real quick. Thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. Thank you for how many blessings, Lord. God, just help me say what you want me to say. God, give me the knowledge of you, God, and help me preach your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. So right off the bat, I'm gonna say this before I jump in. This Bible verse comes up with a question. It's asking, he said, if ye be risen with Christ. So Paul is asking, are you saved? Are you 100% sure when you die, you're going to heaven? Where are you going to spend eternity? You need to figure this out. Because, well, who I'm talking to here, I'm talking to the church. I am talking to the saved people. If you don't know what that means, I'm talking to saved people. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved. And so you can go back and listen to this or listen to Pastor Tim when he preaches it later. When Paul writes his letter, he's reminding believers of their new identity in Christ. Once we are dead in sin, but now are alive in Christ. Because of that, our focus, our priorities, and our passions should change. The world tells us to look around, see pleasure and power and possessions. And now if you look at the next part of this verse, Paul tells us to look up. And I'm going to give you some couple things to think about. So I guess you can really, I don't really like points, but I guess I'm going to do some. If you have a new position. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. When you accept Christ, you didn't just get a new start. You got a new position. When you were raised with him spiritually, you're not who you used to be. Now, if you turn with me real quick to Romans 6. I turned almost right to it. That's awesome. Romans 6, 4. You could read this whole chapter and get a whole blessing out of it. But I'm going to read you just one verse. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, like that as Christ, who was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so we also should walk in the newness of life. I'm sorry. I'm going to calm down here in a second. But anyways, turn this Ephesians 2, 6. I thought the lead singing would give me calm down after that, because usually that's nerve-wracking. Okay. Ephesians, Ephesians 2, verse 6. Sorry. And hath raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. We have a great responsibility. You know, in Colossians, as we see there in Colossians 1, seek those things which are above. Through the death of Christ and burial and resurrection, we have been separated from the old life, and now we belong into our new heavenly life. But how do we seek those things which are above? Good thing about the Bible is the Bible will tell you exactly what to do, because that's right in verse 2, but we'll get there in a second. If we be risen with Christ, we should seek the things that we should want in that new life, or should want from what the Bible says we should want in this new life. Holiness, righteousness, and things that pleases God. When a person becomes a new citizen, even sometimes they do it illegally, I hope nobody watches this on YouTube. When a person comes in, you know, their loyalty changes, and they learn the new country laws, the languages, the culture. Likewise, as citizens in heaven, our loyalty should change, our language should change, and it should reflect our new home. Point number two, still don't like doing points, but you need a new passion. So in verse number two, it says, set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. So there was I got this from this saying from Wiersbe. Our feet must be on earth, but our minds must be in heaven. So this is not to say, that we become so heavenly that we're no earthly good. It means that everyday life and everyday, whatever we go through, whatever you go through, whatever I go through, gets direction from Christ, which is in heaven. The word affections means here, and I think Paul is trying to say, he's trying to give us a mindset or a kind of focus. Paul is basically saying in a redneck way, I'm going to put it, fix your thoughts, man. And, he said, he knows us. He was part of us. He knows what our mind's going to go to. You know, we think of really stupid stuff sometimes. You know what I'm saying? So you should fix your thoughts and fix our desires on heavenly things. In Philippians, if you want to go ahead there and turn there to Philippians. Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4, verse 7. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So, your affections determine your directions. Whatever captures your heart, whatever you think on, whatever your heart loves, it will guide your life. If we're constantly thinking about worldly things, our life will reflect the world. But if we think on heavenly things, our life should reflect Christ. You can't drive sleepy on the road if you're always looking in the rear view mirror. Likewise, you can't live a victorious Christian life if you're always looking back at what the world is doing or looking down. Point number three, still don't like doing the points. You have a new purpose. Verse number, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ. When Paul says you are dead, he means you are dead to the old ways of your life. So sin no longer defines who we are, dead people that are saved. Our true identity, our true purpose, our true future are hidden with Christ. That means our life is safe and secure with Christ. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You can turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. I mean, first, I wonder that looked wrong. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 17, therefore, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. Because our life is hidden with Christ, we don't need the world's approval. We already got God's acceptance. We live for his glory, not our own. And in the final two chapters of Colossians, Paul is... practically, he's given a practical application of the doctrines he has been teaching. And, you know, and after he does that, he's telling us what to do. It does little to no good if a Christian declare the truth and defend the truth, but fail to demonstrate it in their lives. Right. There are some Christians who will defend the truth at a drop of a hat or a blink of the eye, but their personal lives lack any kind of doctrine or Christ-likeness or like they say they believe or profess that they love. Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in the works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient to every good work, reprobate. We must keep in mind that the pagan religions of Paul's day said little or nothing about personal immorality. A worshiper could bow down before an idol and have no relationship to it, he can go back to his same old sinful life. What a person believed had no relationship of how he behaved. No one could condemn the person for his behavior. But with Christ's faith brought into the world, brought a new concept into pagan society, what we believe is very defined connection of how we behave. After all, faith in Christ means being united to Christ. To all of this to say, if you are risen with Christ, if you are saved, are you born again, you should seek the things above. You should set your affections on things above. You should show that your life is in Christ. Our old life is gone. Our new life is found in Him. So we should live each day not looking at the world or looking down at the world, but we should be looking up toward heaven. Amen. And this is our hope right here. Colossians 3:4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall appear with Him in glory. That's our hope. That's our reason. That's our destination. He is our hope. He is our reason. He is our destination. Christ is our life.
All right, Galatians chapter 5. Man, we need to set our affection on things above, not on things of this world. Get your mind off the things of this world. Christ has saved you. Saved you so you could live forever, so you wouldn't have to go to hell. And He saved you so you could live for Him. All right, Galatians chapter 5. Preaching at a nursing home. He was preaching through the fruits of the Spirit, so I wanted to do one of these. And see the difference between preaching to people who are asleep and preaching to people who are half asleep. So we'll try to do one of these today. See how it's like. Galatians chapter 5, we'll start reading verse 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. If ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, immolations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another." So the one I wanted to look at today is the fruit of the Spirit, it's meekness. Fruit of the Spirit is meekness. First off, if we go back to verse 17, it says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would." You cannot be living after the flesh and living after the Spirit at the same time. If you have the fruits of the Spirit, you cannot be doing these fruits of the flesh. If you have these fruits of the flesh, you cannot be doing these fruits of the Spirit. And to have these fruits of the Spirit is the Holy Spirit, after you're saved, dwelling inside of you. First off, you have to be born again. You have to be saved. You cannot have these fruits of the Spirit. You cannot have true love. You cannot have true joy or true peace or true long-suffering or meekness unless you are saved. You have to be born again first. All right, so meekness. Meekness is a very misunderstood word a lot of times. Some people say it means scared or sheepish or timid and quiet, but meekness means like flowing water or like flowing water. So like if you throw a rock into a river, what happens? It makes a big splash and goes down to the bottom, and the river just keeps on going. The river doesn't stop because of the rock. It keeps on going. And just like that, meekness is the ability to take whatever is thrown at you and take whatever hits you and just keep on flowing right over and just keep on going. And so every one of us has taken some blows along the way. We have all had something thrown at us or something hit at us, but I just hit that button. But we've all had something hit us along the way, but we just got to keep on flowing for the Lord. Just got to keep on living for the Lord and not giving up. Some people have dropped out when something hit them. Some people have kept on going. You be the one that keeps on going, keeps on flowing for the Lord. Now, the people that kept on going, it's not because what happened to you never happened to them. It's not because what happened to somebody, it's not because of what somebody did to you, they never did to them. It's because they are still going on today because they have meekness. They are still going on today because they chose by the help of God to just keep flowing and just keep flowing and observe whatever might come their way without letting it alter their course. Everywhere you go in life, it's going to be battles, it's going to be struggles and hardships, and the Lord wants you to use meekness and keep on going for the Lord. I want to look at a couple of examples of meekness in Numbers chapter 12. Look at Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12, start reading in verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman which he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and in the solemnitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and beheld she was leprous. I can't say that for some reason. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. And let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. So what happens here is Miriam and Aaron speak out against Moses because he married an Ethiopian woman. He married somebody of a different race than him. And they were mad about it. They didn't like that. And so they were trying to hurt Moses because of that. They tried to speak against their leader because of that. It's not against the Bible to marry somebody of a different race. The rules for marriage is a man and a woman. That's it. You gotta be a man, you gotta be a woman. And a saved person must marry a saved person. That's it. Now, they were mad about Aaron, and they were speaking out against him. Now, Moses, here's a man who is willing to pray for the people who just insulted him. He is praying for the people who just tried to destroy his ministry and his reputation and his own family. And he's praying for them that God would heal her after she just did this to him. And Aaron asked him, he begged Moses, and Moses, without a trace of bitterness, without saying, you get what you deserve. And Moses prayed for her, and God healed her in 7 days. So what happened here is they threw some rocks at him. They hit him, and he just absorbed it and kept on flowing. and kept on going for the Lord, no matter what they hit him with. And all right, in 2 Samuel chapter 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16, we'll look at David. Example of David. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5. This is David is getting run out of his town. His son has Absalom has thrown, has overthrown his kingdom, and David is sent into exile. 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5. And when King David came to, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all his servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men which were men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei, when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with ye sons of Zeruiah? Let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David, who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said unto and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him and came weary and refreshed themselves there. David is, you know, he's getting run out of town by his own son. He's having to flee for his very life. And this man's coming out and he's cursing David. He's telling lies about David. He's throwing rocks at David. And his mighty man that was with him had every right to go and cut off his head. He had every right to go and just kill him right then. But David said no. They found refreshment in the exile. They were refreshed in the outcast situation. They found refreshment with being lied at, with being cursed at, and having rocks thrown at them. They found refreshment. They just kept on going. How did they do that? They decided to keep their hearts and their minds stayed on the Lord, and not set their attention and their heart on the cursing, rock-throwing, hating crowd. You can be sour about what somebody says about you. You can quit because somebody offends you. Or you can just get your heart full of Jesus Christ, and you can be refreshed. And this world is not going to stop throwing rocks at you. This world is not going to stop hurting you. This world is not going to stop going after you. But you just have to keep on flowing, and have meekness, and keep on going for the Lord. Well, we'll look at Galatians chapter 4. Back to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 9, I think it is. Yeah. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. So Paul cannot say that they haven't hurt him. Right. Paul cannot say that people have not hurt him along the way, but he says, you have not injured me. Right. If you think about football, you think about players on a football game. They're going to get tackled. They're going to get hurt. They're going to get bruised. They're going to get hurt along the way. But you don't get taken out of the game until you're injured. Paul said, I'm not injured yet. You're not taking me out of the game. You might have hurt me, but I'm going to keep on going for the Lord. I'm not going to quit. Even though you might hurt me, even though you might throw some rocks at me, I'm just going to keep on going for the Lord. Amen. Every one of us has been hurt. Every one of us will get hurt again. It is up to you if you're going to quit or keep on going. Now we'll look at the greatest example of meekness in the Bible. Let's go to Matthew chapter 21. The Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to, I don't know how to say that, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go unto the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her loose, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall have aught unto you. Ye shall say, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass and a colt. Of the fall of an ass, and the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a great multitude spread their garments in the way, others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that were before and had followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. So he came in, all this great multitude cheering him on, praising the Lord, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. But later on, a week later, came and going up the hill with the cross, it was a group saying, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And probably going on that donkey, riding through there, seeing all those people praising him, saying, I'm going to die for your sins, I'm going to die for your sins, I'm going to die for your sins. Then when all those people, that big old crowd shouting at him, crucify him, crucify him. So I'm going to die for your sins. I'm going to die for your sins. Amen. And he died for your sins. He didn't stop. If he didn't have meekness, he could have just stopped right then. Right. He was hit, and he could have just stopped, went away. But he kept on going. Amen. Kept on going so we could be saved. Amen. So we need to have meekness. We'd be walking in this fruit of the Spirit and meekness. We need to just keep on going on for the Lord. We have, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You have no excuse if you're saved. You have that very meekness living inside of you. You just have to let the Holy Spirit do a work in your life and keep going on, keep flowing on for the Lord. Meekness. Amen. All right. Luke chapter number 17. Luke chapter 17, and if you want to already go ahead and grab Leviticus chapter 13.
Luke 17 and Leviticus 13. Heard a message on this topic not too long ago, and it really spoke to my heart. Just wanted to share some of these truths with you. I didn't steal the message. I studied it on my own. But I found that the Bible's true either way. So, all right, Luke chapter number 17. Let's read the story starting in verse number 11 here. It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met with him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your word. Thank you for these truths in your word that we've heard already. Ask that you'd please be in the last little bit of the service here, that you'd speak to our hearts through your word, that you'd help us to just be better Christians and to praise you for all you've done for us. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we see in this story these lepers that came to Jesus, and they were searching for his mercy. And these lepers, of course, as you know, they had this disease that is very common throughout the Bible, and that is leprosy. Now, leprosy is not as common in the day in which we live, at least not in the USA. I think I saw when I researched it that only about 200 cases in the entire country per year of leprosy. But it still is all throughout the world. But the difference is that now they have medicine, they have things that can treat it. But in this day, leprosy was a big deal. Leprosy was this disease or this bacteria that would get on your skin, it would get on your body, and it would affect your nerves. And it would get in your nerves, and it would make it so that you lost feeling. And before long, you'd cut yourself, things would happen, and so infection would get into your body, and you didn't realize it was there because you had lost feeling, and you'd be losing hands, losing legs, and all these things. And eventually, what would happen is you would die. Leprosy eventually brought death. And back then, it was if you realized that you had leprosy, that was, I mean, can you imagine being in that day, the shock and the just horrific tragedy that would be to find out that you had leprosy, because that meant you would lose everything, you'd lose your relationships, you'd lose your family, you'd lose the fellowship that you had with the people of God. You'd have to be completely separate away from the camp. And so one thing that we find in the Bible is that leprosy, and you can probably already tell by the things that I've said, is a great picture of sin in the Bible. And so I want to turn over to Leviticus chapter 13 real quick and look at a few of these truths of how leprosy pictures our sin. And then we'll come back to the story real quick and we'll look at a few things there. Leviticus chapter 13, I told y'all to turn there, and I didn't do it myself. So, here we go. Leviticus 13. This is the passage that's talking about the law when it comes to what they were to do about leprosy. I want to notice a few things here in the beginning of it. Chapter number 13, verse 1, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and it be in the skin of his flesh, like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest or unto one of his sons, the priest. So what we see here in this first verse is this person that it's describing does not have leprosy yet. They have a spot, a rising, a scab, just something little they noticed on their skin. And what they were supposed to do when they first saw this is they were supposed to go ahead and do something about it. Because if they didn't and it turned into leprosy, that would be a lot worse. So when it was small, when it was very tiny, when I first noticed the problem, they were supposed to deal with it right then. And we see this as a great picture of sin. Because if there's, you notice something in your life that it maybe you think it's minor, you know, you think it's small. Oh, well, I don't have a big mouth. I just said that one little thing about that person. It wasn't a big deal. You know, I don't have a problem with that. I just did it one time. I just, you know, it's just a small little thing. It's not that big a deal. I just missed going to church once, you know. It's not a big deal. That is a big deal. And it needs to be dealt with right away. Because if you let that thing fester and you let it stay and you let it grow and you let it become something, it'll get a lot worse. And so when we see sin in our life, when we see the first glance of sin, when we first notice that there's something in our life, when we're sitting here, we're hearing the Word of God preached to us and the Lord pricks our heart, we need to listen the first time instead of put it off and put it off and put it off and no, Lord, I don't want to listen to you. I want to wait and put it off. And eventually that thing's going to get a lot worse. And we need to deal with it. We need to take care of it right now, right when we see it. Look at verse 3. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy. Leprosy was deeper than the skin. It got into the nerves. And, you know, sin is not an outside problem. You can clean up the outside all you want, but until the inside is dealt with, it's not going to do much good. Sure, we need to have an outside testimony. We need to dress in a way that pleases the Lord and points people to Christ. We need to talk in a certain way. We those things are important. But what's more important is what's on the inside, because sin is a heart problem. And if you don't have your heart right, then whatever you do on the outside is just, it's not going to amount to anything, because it's fake. It's hypocrisy. And so this leprosy, it got deeper than the skin. It says, it is a plague of leprosy, and the priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. You know what the priest didn't do is when he came in, he said, well, you know, that looks like leprosy to me, but we'll let it pass. But we'll overlook that. You just kind of, you put something over top of that, you kind of cover it up, and we'll just pretend like it never happened. We'll just pretend like it's not a big deal. No, what this person needed was a priest that was going to say, you're unclean, and this is a problem, and we need to address this. And many churches, many congregations in this country and in this world, they have so-called preachers that'll get up and say, well, your sin's really not a big deal. God doesn't really care that much about it. Let's just love each other and kind of forget about all that stuff. Let's just be tolerant of it. Let's just let those things pass. But no, we need somebody, and praise the Lord, we do have a pastor that'll get up here and tell you, that's unclean. That's sin. That's wickedness, and you need to get it taken care of. So praise the Lord for that wonderful blessing. And I want you to notice here, look at verse number 45. This is kind of going along with what I just said. These verses are just really stand out to me. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. So applying this to our day, when you're living in sin, you go to your Facebook and you just post it all. I'm unclean. I'm just kidding. No, that's not what I'm saying. But we see here that they didn't just brush it under the rug. It was a big deal. And when I read this verse, the immediate thing that comes to my mind is Isaiah, when he's in the presence of the Lord and he sees the glory of the Lord and he says, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, dwelling amidst a people of unclean lips. And we need to recognize our sin. Don't just ignore it. Don't just let it go. Recognize it, acknowledge it, and do something about it. So we see here, this leprosy is just like sin. I failed to mention this. I'll mention this real quick. When we were talking about dealing with the sin right away. Leprosy, I saw in a video I watched about leprosy, that you can have leprosy, but it can be 5 to 20 years before it ever shows up in your life. And you may be living in sin right now, and you may think you're getting away with it right now. You may think it's not, you know, the Lord must be okay with this because, you know, my dog hasn't died and my car's still running. But that's just, you know, we reap what we sow. And that God not judging us immediately is not Him ignoring or being okay with the problem. It's Him being long-suffering and gracious. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. He's trying to give you a chance to repent of that sin. He doesn't want to have to deal with it abruptly and sharply. He wants to let you repent of that and get it right with Him. And so instead of taking advantage of the grace of God, you need to go ahead and get that sin dealt with. Now, leprosy, we saw here in verse number 46. I don't think we read it. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone without the camp, shall his habitation be. This leprosy separated him from every his life, everything he knew, everything. He was separate. He had to be without the camp. And our sin will separate us. Our sin separates us from God. Our sin will destroy our relationship with God. I'm not going to take the time to do it, but there's other places in the Bible that you read about. Leprosy didn't just affect the skin and the person. It affected their houses. It affected their clothes. And when they let that sin get in there, it would destroy their homes. It would destroy everything they owned. It would destroy their clothes and everything. And if we let sin get into our life, it's going to destroy our friendships. It's going to destroy our churches. It's going to destroy our relationships. Destroy everything that we know. The wages of sin is death. Something is going to die. If we don't deal with that sin, it causes separation. It causes death. It causes destruction. So we don't need to play around with it. Now, praise the Lord, the solution to leprosy and sin is the same. Turn to Mark chapter number 1. Try to get through this quickly. Mark chapter number 1. First, I was thinking Joey meant the people at the nursing home were the ones that were fully asleep, but I think I got those mixed up. Mark chapter number 1. Look at verse number 40. I love this passage here. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. When we think about this, this leper we were just talking about, he lost everything. I mean, his whole world was just gone with no hope. There was no cure. Back in this day, there was no cure for leprosy. He had zero hope. But he came to Jesus and he said, if you wanted to make me clean, I know you could do it. You can do it. And look what Jesus says. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will. Be thou clean. You know, Jesus is willing. If you're here struggling against sin, if you're lost, if you say, well, he wouldn't take me. Christ wouldn't save me. All that I've done, he wouldn't cleanse me. Well, they would have thought he wouldn't have cleansed a leper. They would have thought that he wouldn't want to get close to that uncleanness and that disgusting. But no, he said, I will, be thou clean. And Christ is willing and he's ready. And he's done all that he can do to save you. He's paid the price and he wants to make you clean. Praise the Lord. The same solution for leprosy and sin is the same, and that is Jesus Christ. We see that this man with the leprosy, Jesus didn't tell him, well, if you give me $50, I'll save you. Or he didn't say, well, you know, if you go do this, if you're faithful to church for a year, if you get baptized, if you do all, that's not what he told him. All he said was, if you wanted to, I believe you can. And he said, I will. Be thou clean. And praise the Lord, that's how simple salvation is. Just believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I love this as well. It says here, and as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Verse 43, and he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. You know, if you were this man in leprosy, and you had no hope, your life was over, and then Jesus cleansed you, and you got to go back to your family, you got to go back to the temple, you got to go back to your friends, you got to go back to your loved ones, and you got to tell them, yeah, you remember me, a leper, but I'm clean now. And that's because of Jesus Christ. And he spread it abroad, even when Jesus told him not to. And you would think that we that have been saved from sin, you would think that when we'd go back to our families, when we'd go back on the job, that when we'd go back out in the public places, that we would say, I used to be a sinner, I used to be unclean, but now I'm clean, I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's because of Jesus Christ and what he did for me on the cross. And we've been commanded to. This man was commanded not to, and he did it anyways. Can you imagine if Christ had said, now, church, y'all don't worry about witnessing. Well, we wouldn't have a problem with that, would we? But this man had a problem with that. He said, no, I can't help it. I can't help but tell the things that I've seen and heard. I've got to tell somebody what Jesus Christ did in my life. And witnessing shouldn't be a have to. It shouldn't be, well, maybe I should really go and tell that person. No, it should be, I get to tell that person how he can be clean too. This man, he probably went to other lepers. Guess who can heal you of that? Jesus Christ. And guess who can heal you of your sin? It's Jesus Christ as well. Praise the Lord. Turn back to, I'm almost done. Luke chapter 17. Look at this one more time. Just had Thanksgiving. And we thank the Lord for all he's given us, all he's blessed us with. We're satisfied with all he's given us. So then on Black Friday, we go and fight each other for what we don't have. all right, look here what they did. Look at verse, won't read the whole thing again. Verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. This is a great picture of the condition of the church in our day and age. There's a lot of lepers that have been cleansed. There's a lot of sinners that have had their sins washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. But how many are thanking him for it? How many are praising him for it? How many are glorifying him for it with a loud voice? How many care? Out of 10, one came back. Makes me wonder if it's the same ratio today or if it's worse. You know, if you have 1,000 Christians, how many are doing something for Christ? You have 100, how many are doing something for Christ? You have 10, how many? Sin is a bigger problem than leprosy. If you were healed of leprosy, you'd be praising the Lord for it. But you've been healed from your sin. With his stripes, we are healed. And do we care? Or do we just, oh, I got that taken care of. I can go about my life now. It's a big deal. We're thankful for our food. We're thankful for where we live. We're thankful for our church. We're thankful for our family. All those things are wonderful, and I praise the Lord for all those things. But how often do we thank the Lord that we were once a rotten, unclean, disgusting, separated sinner, and now in his sight we are whiter than snow. We are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ with his righteousness on our account. And I think we need to praise him some more about that. We need to thank him some more. We need to make a bigger deal about that and tell a lot more people about it. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. I thank you that you saved me, that you washed me from my sin, wickedness, that you gave me your righteousness, and you promised that you were coming back to get me one day. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all you've done. Thank you for these great messages we've heard today. And I ask that you just be with each and every one. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, thank y'all for coming. And hope y'all enjoy the Youth Sunday. And I guess we'll stand, be dismissed. And I guess, as is preached, if you want to stand at the back.